So here we are. I think we're blessed with the sunlight this morning. It's so warm. It's the warmest it's been since I've arrived. I really feel the heat of the sun this morning. And I think in some ways it's quite auspicious. And I'm wondering if you have this word auspicious, because it's a good word. Do you know this word auspicious? How to say auspicious in another way? Can you help?
Huh? A good omen.
A good omen, yeah. A good omen that this is the day of the solstice day, the longest day of the light. Any other way to say that? Kind of when conditions come together in a way that's quite special. I think there's something quite special about the day that this is our, when we finish the retreat, and it's this day of light, the longest day of the light. Synchronicity. Mm-hmm. Synchronicity, there's things come together. Yeah, it's a good omen for us as we really celebrate this offering that has happened here in Iceland. You know, I've just been so happy with this coming together of this retreat and the conditions for this retreat and all of you coming and participating in the silence and the depth of these teachings and the what's really possible for us as human beings on this planet, in this world, to wake up and to live more consciously and with an open and kind heart for ourselves and what that brings for ourselves, but also what that brings for others and our community and for our world. And so it's really very, very powerful what we are doing here. This practice, these efforts that we're making to really look at our own mind and our own heart and speak the truth. Really speak the truth about what we see and what we know, and not hide that away, but say, yes, there is, you know, there is pain, there is suffering, there is difficulty, but there's also joy, and there's also happiness, and there's also beauty. You know, that's the truth. We speak the truth of what we see. We don't have to just show one side. You know, it doesn't have to just be light. And as you know, it's also dark. Equally. Two sides of the same coin. You know, that is the law. That is the nature. We are that nature. I am that same nature. You are that same nature. So we are all of it. We're everything, just like the nature that is out there. It's not really out there. It's all here. It is all here, all the same. We're operating by the same law, the same intelligence, same wisdom. And so when we let go of our own ideas and beliefs and constructs about the way we think it should be or is, and just let go into the nature, into the law or into the Dharma, the river of Dharma, the river of life, then we become one with that nature and the laws of the nature, the Dharma. We the Dharma lands in the center of our being. There's no difference anymore. There's no separation. This is so potent that we have teachings, we have practices that can point the way, that can show us the way. Because our minds, our ego minds, can be so strong, you know. And why that is, how we got into this predicament, we're not... I think the Buddha said, if you try to think about that too much, you'll go crazy. Why is it like this, you know? Why is the world like this? You know, I don't know where that first seed got planted, the first seed of ignorance, the first seed that closed the mind. There are mythological stories of creation, stories of Adam and Eve, you know, all the stories that talk about how that came down, how the veil came down. And then we couldn't see God anymore. We couldn't see the divine, you know. There's all kinds of mythological stories of that. But the fact is that the veil has come down. And so we have these, you know, we have these practices, teachings, spiritual traditions, we have guides, you know, to help us see again, you know, help us wake up, to lift the veil of ignorance, to lift the veil of delusion. So we can see who we are, what we are, what this is, what this nature is, and that we are all the same at this deep level of our being. Call it essence, the essence, or sometimes even mind essence. When we know this essence of who we are, then there's no more difference. We become one with that, with the laws of nature, with Dharma. The harmony, we harmonize, we blend. And it's more easy. That's why we want to, because it's easier. It's just easier and happier. You know. And since that is possible, why not? Right? Why not? If there's a way that is happier and more easeful and we feel more well in ourselves, why not? Let's go for it. Especially since it's not just about me, but it means that it's about the more that I come to this place of knowing the truth of who I am, then that goes out like the ripples on the pond. It goes out and touches everybody. Just like the Buddha, when the Buddha woke up 2,500 years ago, the ripples, the vibrations that have gone out have not stopped. So much power in that enlightenment, in that awakening. 2,500 years later, we're still in the vibration, we're still in the energy field of the Buddha's enlightenment. That's how powerful it is. And each one of us have that same potential. Each one of us are a Buddha. Each one of us are already the Buddha, we just haven't recognized that fully yet. So this path helps us wake up to that truth of who we are, so that those ripples can go out, that those ripples of awakening or enlightenment can go out and touch all people, all beings, all creatures in the world, to help all beings wake up. That's the power, the potency of what we're doing here. So it makes me very happy, you know, very happy that we've come together to put our time and our energy and our efforts into this practice, because it doesn't stop here. Right? This is just the beginning. You know, I said in one group, I said, this is just the warm-up. We're just warming up here. This is it really begins, right, when we get in our cars and we start to drive away. It really begins then. What happens then? What happens when we go back into our usual rhythm of our lives? And can we continue? Can we continue bringing forth our wisdom and our heart of kindness and our understanding? Can we bring it forth into each moment, every moment? Now, this is radical in the way that we're saying every moment. Not just sometimes, or maybe next week, or you know when I'm back on my holiday. Every moment is an opportunity for mindfulness. No matter what we're doing, what's happening, what we're engaged in. And we see that, we've learned, that's really what we practice here. Every moment. And we say every moment because really all there is this moment. There is only this moment. Right? And if we miss this moment, there's another moment. We'll always have another chance. So we don't have to worry that we've missed the moment, because there's always another one waiting, right? Right here. We're right here, right here. So that is really all there is. That's all we have, right? So if we forget, or we get occupied with something, or distracted, or lost, or, you know, maybe it goes on for an hour, or for a week, or for 6 months, and we go, oh, where have I been? I haven't been paying attention. And then look what's happened because I haven't been paying attention. How did I get in this hole? Right? Somehow I'm in this hole. I don't know how I got here, but I can get out. We get out. And then hopefully we can reflect and consider what happened. How did I go back to sleep? So, but we have, you know, usually I think we always have this moment where we wake up again. If we woke up once, I mean, there's people I know who yet have not woken up to this awareness, to this understanding. So I'm still waiting for the crack. Like I spoke about with my nephew. I pray that there will be some crack for him, that there's some light that comes through. But it hasn't happened yet. So he's still in the hole. But when we have had this light, when we have had this awareness, and then we fall in, we will be able to return. That's what I see. I see that again and again. We wake up again. Oh, what happened? Oh, where was I? Because we have the memory. We have the memory of how it was. You know, even coming to a retreat, you always have this memory now. You always have this memory. It doesn't go. It's so deep. It goes deep into the cells of the body. We call it the cellular memory. Memory in the cells. Because the body remembers. It's not just the mind. We know this. It's not just the mind. It doesn't have to come through the thinking memory. But the body stores the memories. We know this from our childhoods. Our child being children, we can have memories of what happened that's still in our bodies. And so it's the same with retreat and meditation. It goes deep. Goes deep. Makes an impression. So it's not as easy to forget. It's easier to remember. So we want to do this as much as possible to make the memory come back more quickly when we forget. That's what happens. The gap of forgetting gets smaller and smaller. The more that we keep the awareness strong and the mindfulness strong, then that's returning. The returning happens more quickly, And then the gap gets shorter and shorter and shorter. And pretty soon, at some point, there's not much gap in the mindfulness. It's pretty continuous. There's still some little gaps, but not enough to make any real problem. Don't even have to worry about it. So how we can help this is to continue our practice. We need to continue the practice. We won't necessarily have the same supports that we have here. You know, the holding, the kind of holding that we've had on this retreat. It's very special when we go on retreat anywhere. There's retreats happening all over the world. We go on retreat. As I said, the first night, everything is made here to support your practice. Everything. As I said, even these red mats that Thorin had made before the retreat, you know, everything goes in to help us be able to practice well. As best as we can, you know, it's not perfect in some ways, but we do the best that we can to support your practice. Mm-hmm. So when we go back home, we want to carry that same attitude, that same intention to do the best we can to support our practice. So whatever that is for you, whatever, however you can do that, and there's many things now, there's many things out there to help us. I mean, of course, we start with the daily meditation. This is really the foundation. It's the main support. Is the every day we sit into the posture and we do some mindfulness practice, some meditation practice. Ideally, if we can do it for 20 minutes, that's the best. Because as you know, especially in our daily life with the mind, we have so many impressions, so much going on all day long that the mind is filled up with everything that's happened in the day. So we sit down and the mind is just going through all the things that happened in the day. That's just what happens. And it's like just like the first day of a retreat. We're either thinking a lot or we're sleeping. So it's like the first part of our meditation in our day, it's almost like we have to clear that first layer. It takes about 10 minutes if we're lucky. If we're lucky. Depending how strong our practice is. And then we can just start to settle like the what are those? You have these little plastic balls with snow. Do you have those? Yeah, so and you shake them up and then the snow comes. But if you don't shake anymore, the snow settles and it's all on the ground in the little plastic balls. So it's the same way with the meditation. If you're not shaking it up, you're just sitting still, then that all the mental activity will settle. And then finally we can feel the breath, feel the body, feel ourselves sitting. So 20 minutes is good, usually to help that settling time. That's ideal. Yeah. And if it's not possible to find the 20 minutes, maybe the day has gone by and it's been quite busy, a good recommendation is before you go to bed at night, even if you're just in your bed or on your bed, is you just sit in your meditation posture on your bed, even for 2 minutes. It's like just get into the posture. Whatever will help you, just get, because this is the body memory. The body memory is in the posture. So as soon as you get in the posture, already it starts. It's like you don't even have to try that hard. That's one of the good things about coming back into the same meditation posture again and again, is the body remembers. And then the mind just follows. So even if you haven't had a chance to do that in the day, just maybe just before you go to bed, just coming in. It helps if you can be in the posture, but even if you're if you're even too tired or too exhausted or too much has gone on, even lying down on the bed, before you go to sleep, just take a few minutes and clear the mind into the body. Let the attention, let the awareness go into the body and feel the body on the bed. Just you feel the bed holding you. You feel the bed supporting you and let go into that support. Just let go into the bed because you don't have to hold up anymore. It's like we think we have to hold up and hold everything together. And that's a lot of what we think we're doing in the day, is just making sure that nothing falls apart or people don't fall apart. And so we have to hold it all. So we have a lot on our shoulders. So at night when we get into bed and just take that breath, let it go and let the bed hold us. Just let it all go, let it all go, let the whole day go. This is, these moments, it doesn't take too much. You know, even just a minute of remembering, of 2 minutes of remembering. But if you have a little bit more time, if you can establish 20 minutes a day, or maybe longer, some people can do longer, maybe a half an hour, 45 minutes, you know. But we want, you know, wherever we can, it's like making it important. Some people say, oh, well, I don't have time. You know, there's so many other things I have to do. You will be surprised how you can carve out, you can just carve out some time and everything else will fall in place. There's a lot more flexibility than we think in the day. It's not as solid, it's not as tight. You know, as soon as I make something important, it seems that there's some time, magically. So just something to consider, something to think about. If you don't already have a well-established practice, some of you do already, but those of you who don't, and then, you know, just something to consider. However, that's only the formal practice. Then there is all the informal times, you know, the whole rest of the day. 24 hours, except the time that we're sleeping. And the sleep is important. And the whole rest of the time, mindfulness, you know, paying attention, keeping that continuity if we can. That's really where the strength of the practice happens. And even sometimes more than the sitting, the formal practice. It's how are we being through the day? How are we being through the day? Even in the busyness of the day, just to stop. Meditation means stop. Stop. And what we're stopping is the habit. Habit. Because otherwise we're just going along down those streets, down those roads, but we're not really considering where we're going or how we're doing it. So sometimes we just need to stop and feel and sense and where am I? What's happening? How am I feeling? Connecting. Even for 30 seconds. And then go again. But then you're going, moving ahead with more awareness, more connection. So it's really that, we call it the pause button. The pause button. All of the screens now with videos have a pause button. You can just stop. Stop it for just a little bit, and then you can start it up again. So this is what will make such a difference. We don't want to undermine the power of these moments. One moment of paying attention, of being present. We also have all the resources of all that's available now on the internet. I mean, of course, the internet has been an explosion of Dharma. I mean, there's not a lot of things that are not so good. I mean, a lot of almost evil things on the internet, but there are so many Dharma resources now. So I hope that you know about this one website called Dharma Seed, which is an archive, it's a library of all of the Dharma talks that the teachers in this tradition are giving and have given over the last 30 years. There are thousands of Dharma talks on this website, all free. It's all free. And the minute now, the minute that one of our teachers gives a talk at one of the four centers, Spirit Rock, Insight Meditation Society, Gaia House, and Beatenberg in Switzerland, it goes up that night. That night it's on the internet. Mm-hmm. It's so quick now. There's a little chip, chip in the device that you can take out of the device and then put in the computer, and it uploads it onto the internet. You can do it in 5 minutes now. Put a Dharma talk that was just given at one of the centers by all the teachers in this tradition. So it's just marvelous. You can follow a whole retreat that's happening, listening to all the talks that are given at the retreat at one of those centers. So please do look at that site. And I also have many, many talks. My talks are also up on that site. So it's a wonderful resource if you like to listen to Dharma talks, or if that's something that is interesting to you. Of course, there's so many communities now, we call virtual communities, sanghas, on the internet. And I would be happy to put some lists together of things that I think would be helpful for you to know about, and we can send an email out to you so you have some resources available. I also have a website myself where I just put my teaching schedule, and I have a book list there. I have some links to things, some other resources, meditations, that sort of thing on my website too. Just shardarogel.com. Very funny. Make it very simple. So that's available. And going on retreats, I hope that maybe, I know that this has been very wonderful for many people, but if it's possible for you sometimes maybe to go to a retreat, the closest one I think is Gaia House in England. And it's a wonderful, wonderful place for a retreat. Many people here have been at Gaia House, and it's not so far away, I don't think. And any retreat that you do there would be good retreat. Good teachers, good retreat. So just going there, being there in that environment that's been there for 30 years, it's a very well-established retreat center. So really, that's probably the most accessible place for you if you feel you want to go for a little bit longer and have some more time. Probably the most important really is the sangha or the community and the local community that the ASTA is holding, and a core group of people here holding. And it's very unusual to live in a place where there is an established Dharma center, where there are regular sittings and regular offerings are happening. Many people who are practicing don't have that nearby. So to have that resource is really, really valuable to help. When you sit with other people, when you're a gathering with other people, you see, it helps you. It gives you some more energy and momentum to do your practice. If you were here at this place since Wednesday till today by yourself with no support, it would be very different. You might not have had the same level of energy to sit and walk and sit and walk and keep going in quite the way that you have. So it's quite a wonderful thing to sit with other people. We call it like-minded people who have the same values, consider the same things important, who are on a path of awakening and enlightenment. So I thought, Asta, do you want to just say a couple words about your community? And
yes, so many of you know already about the sitting group, I'm wondering if I should speak in English or Icelandic.
Icelandic.
On Tuesday, so if you are here in Iceland, you're welcome on Tuesday evening.
Come every week.
So we have set this up since 2009, og það allir velkomnir og við sitjum á, núna á þriðdögum, við hefum líka verið á miðvikudögum, núna á þriðdögum og það frá 8 til hálf 10 og það situr í hálftíma og svo svona darma samtal í hálftíma og svo hálftíma metta og það allir velkomnir, við tökum sumafrí á sumrin en við situm núna út í júní og svo sjálta með darma hula ykkur næsta þriðdag og þetta jóka við á Grensásvegi 16. Allir velkomnir og þið getið séð allt þetta inn á heimasíðin okkar. Og svo ef það einhverju svona viðburði, þá kemur líka inn á heimasíðin. Mm-hmm.
Did you mention that Tuesday night was the my
Yeah, I did. Að hún verður með darmahýlingu næsta þriðjudag klukkan 8 í jókanum og það opið fyrir alla en endilega látið þið vita vini og vandamenn ef einhvern veginn áhuga hugleysli eða það langar að koma í og eiga góða stund að þá þetta alltaf einstakt tækifæri næsta þriðjudag opið fyrir alla.
Kannski
segja þetta líka ennsku? Já, svo að sjáttið skilja hérna darmatókin jókavin where we have our sitting group. It's, we just kind of opened it up this autumn. And it's next Tuesday. I think if you are staying, Kim, you're welcome to come. It's at 8 o'clock.
Okay. And you could give her the directions.
Yeah,
for
and the address. Yeah.
Yes, the address is also in on the website.
Okay.
So that's 8 o'clock, and it's open to everybody. So you're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Asta. Yeah. Yeah. So it really is our. You know, it's up to us. We now need, each one needs to take responsibility for how we are going to continue this practice and how we are going to continue to apply our own wisdom and understanding of the Dharma. And as I said, it is not only for ourselves. Sometimes people say, well, this is such a selfish practice. You know, you just go and you sit by yourself and you don't talk to anybody and it's just all about you. Taking 4 or 5 days and, you know, just for yourself. You're not helping anybody or, you know, taking care of anybody. But, you know, as you're in it, you can see how that's sort of not it at all. Mm-hmm. You know, we do this so that we can get out of the way. The me isn't so strong, so that we actually are more connected and we are more caring and we are more than helpful for others in a way that isn't so so self-centered. It isn't just about me. And we know that when we get into that place in ourselves and it makes everything so much more difficult, then we run into the other like this. There's me and there's you and we just go like this. But when there's the open heart and we're able to meet each other knowing that we are all in this together, then we can harmonize. There's more possibility of harmonizing and blending and caring for each other with real wisdom and compassion and love. When we really are moving more from the heart and not so much from our reactions and our habits, then we're engaged in what I call the responding rather than reacting. I think it's good to use those different words, because reaction has to do more with the greed, the hate and the confusion, those forces of the mind that run through, that's what causes this kind of hard reaction, which comes through our speech, comes through the body, and is harmful, it's hurtful. It's hurtful to me, to myself, it's hurtful to others. When we start to feel more of our softer, gentle beingness, the kindness, then we can respond. We're still engaged in action. The action's very important, but we're being moved, we're responding from a place of wisdom and compassion. The wisdom is moving us, not the ideas, the ego ideas. It's the wisdom and the love that move us, that move through us. And so sometimes people think that this meditation or this teaching is about coming to a place of acceptance, where you just accept things the way they are. Let things be the way they are. Right? You hear this again and again, just let go, let be, and accept things the way they are. And this can get confusing because if we just let things be the way they are, we'll see where we wind up, right? This is where we wind up, in this world that is crazy and and hurting a lot of beings. So I want to say that acceptance is the first step. It's just the first step. It's where we begin. We need to come to a place of acceptance that, yes, this is the way things are, but what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? So that's the place of balance. The place of balance is not in reactivity. It's not out of greed, it has to be like this, or it's wrong that it's like this, and all the movement that we've been speaking about of the mind, that's the trouble. That's what causes trouble. But when I see clearly the way things are, the fact, this is it, then I can respond, then I can engage in wise action to bring about change. So the acceptance is just the first step. And I see so often Buddhists are accused of being very passive. It's all about just letting go, let go, let go, But actually, we can't even afford to do that anymore. We can't, even if there is some truth in that, we can't just let go and let be. Let things be the way they are. It's not going to, we may not even be able to have a planet to be on anymore if we have that attitude. So what's very important and what we've already been exploring here together is this the action that comes out of the wisdom, the action that comes out of the clear seeing, which I call responsiveness, responding, or appropriate response, the right response, or the wise response to the situation. And in order to have a wise response or wise action to a situation requires deep listening, deep connection, deep presence to the way things are. To the way things are. Otherwise, where am I coming from? What am I responding to if I'm not even here in the truth of things? I'm just in my own mind about how I think things are, or what I think should be happening. So this practice is vital for us to bring us fully here in the way things are, not only in this environment, this here, but this environment, this atmosphere of the world. How are things? What and where do I feel I want to put my energy? Because there's so many, when we're really present and we see clearly the bigger picture, there's so many ways we can then get involved. We can direct our energy, we can put our attention in so many different ways. There's so many roads, there's so many paths that we can walk down. So it requires a deep listening and deep connection to what I feel connected to, what I feel passion for, what I feel energy for, and then I can go down that road. I can't go down all of them. I can't solve the whole problem, even though I'd like to. I can't do it. I'm only one being. And so I need to listen deeply in my heart, see where the energy is, and then go that direction and see if there's some way that I can make a difference in that action. Wise action. It's one of the factors on the path of the Buddha is wise action. Okay. So this, I wanted to say this before we started to break up, because I feel that in terms of our going back into our life and starting to get a sense of how we direct our lives, how do we put our energy in motion, in a direction. And only when we are really here in our own heart, and it's different for each person. Each person will respond in a different way. But when that response is connected to the heart, there will be good result. That's the law. There will be good result. So it doesn't matter how we are, where we put our energy, it matters where it's coming from, where it comes from. That's what's going to matter. So the choice is yours. The world is your oyster. Right? Yeah. It's all here for you to take. But how are you going to, what choices are you going to make? So that it's not just about me anymore. It's about all beings. And the healing and the well-being of all beings on this earth. And that's how powerful these intentions from the heart can be. They go out so far that they can have a very wide effect. So just planting these seeds for us so that we can pay attention to that as we go out. So I'll just end with this this poem from Hafiz. Hafiz is this Sufi mystic poet. And his poem is like this. It says, "You carry all the ingredients to turn your life into a nightmare. Don't mix them. You have all the genius to build a swing in the backyard for God. That sounds like a hell of a lot more fun. Let's start laughing, drawing up the blueprints, gathering our talented friends. You carry all the ingredients to turn your existence into joy. Mix them. Mix the ingredients for joy. Don't mix the ingredients for the nightmare. For the hell. But I like how he says, you carry those ingredients, right? You carry the ingredients for the hell, for the nightmare. But we carry the ingredients for the joy. So which ones are you going to mix? That's our job. That's what our job is. So I just want to see if there's any last questions, anything anybody wants to ask about. What we're going to do when we finish this is I want to do a little exercise for us around speaking, just beginning to speak together. And then we're going to have just a short break and then come into a circle and have a closing circle together to end the retreat before we go off for our lunch. So just before we begin with the speaking, just want to see if there's any last questions or anything that's left in the room before we go. I know that there's been a lot offered and a lot to consider, to take time and, you know, take this next week and just let it all kind of cook, you know, just let it all cook for a while. You may not even know yet what the questions are. And then after, the questions start to come. Yes.
Yesterday, I was wondering why I couldn't track my thoughts, and I tried to put a column in there. It's like, where's my mind?
Yeah.
And it felt just like a really small little knot in there. So I just let it stay with me, and I was wondering, is it possible that there's just like the body, the heart, and the awareness, that you kind of can't find your mind, because it started to get bigger, and as the space in the head a little bit and this knot unraveled, it felt like, you know, thoughts and more things started to appear, and I could more hear out. And
mm-hmm.
So is it like a possible to, or is it?
To find the mind?
Or just lose the mind.
Lose the mind?
Just like awareness and body.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you speak about the mind, it sounds like you're talking about the thinking mind, right? The thinking mind, the mind that has thoughts and images, pictures.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And also because it in one of the waves of emotion, I could sense that if, you know, I was trying to sense the difference between shutting down and going with it up in space and
mm-hmm.
avoiding it that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it felt like, you know, there was a real struggle of just allowing the mind to stay open for the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just kind of shut down, and then they just wanted to spin up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that probably what's most important in what you're asking about is, in this practice, it's always good to just pay attention to what's obvious. You don't have to go looking for anything. Like, you don't even have to look. If you notice that you're not able to track the thoughts, then let you don't need to. But there's always something that's going to be obvious in your awareness, right? There's something. It'll be a little sensation, or it'll be a feeling, or it'll be a sound. So just go to what's predominant. Go to the most present object. So you don't have to look for anything, because as long as there's awareness, there's an object of awareness. They go together. Awareness arises with the objects of consciousness. So the mind, or the senses, the sights, the sounds, the tastes, the sensations, there's always something that's present as long as we're awake. Even sometimes it might be very subtle, it might just be light or energy or vibration, then it's just that. So what I would suggest for you, not to look for anything when you can't find it, particularly when you can't find it. It's okay to maybe be curious or interested, like, what? Like the koan, where is my mind? But not too much energy for that, because then you start looking for something that may not even be necessary to find, because you have an idea. Oh, I should find that. So better to trust the intelligence of the awareness. Awareness is very intelligent, and it knows what it's doing. Better than you. So trust the awareness itself, and let the awareness guide you. The awareness will guide you. There's always something that pops up. As soon as we wake up in the morning, it's all here. So just let the awareness choose. Right? Just go wherever the awareness is. So in those moments, particularly if you notice that there's some energy going up like that, we've talked about this, your job then is to keep it down, because otherwise you might go off, you know? So direct your attention down to your belly, to your buttocks, to your sits bones, to your legs, to your feet, so that you stay grounded. Stay grounded so that the awareness actually can operate well, so that you don't just spin off, but then just see where the awareness wants to go, and it's a lot more fun. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah. Because the mind will come up with all kinds of ideas about what we think would be good. Good for our practice, good for others, good for the world, you know. But when we go deeper, listen, and then see where the awareness wants to direct itself, then we probably will be better off. Thank you. It's a good question. Thank you for asking. I feel it's very full now, very, very full in the room. We're filled up like the cup is filled. So maybe we can leave this here, and then we can begin to do a little practice around the speaking. Maybe before we do that, let's take a little break, because it's more and more and more. So we'll take about a 5 minute, let's still stay in the silence, and then we'll come back.